Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
I kid you not. As soon as I saw this QT Marshall stuff, I left the room. I came in here. I said, you know what? Let me just listen to it in the background. You know, Wardlow wins the championship, loses the championship in more ways than one. Am I happy that Powerhouse Hobbs is now a champion in AEW? Absolutely. But, you know, we didn't even talk about this QTV crap. You know, somebody sent me the logo last week. I'm like, please. Even the idea that this is going to be QT Marshall giving himself more TV time, him being the reason why Hobbs wins this championship, nah, no thank you. No thank you. I am not doing detailed recaps of shows because I got to. You know, if we want to cover something, we want to talk about it, absolutely. But I ain't going to be one of these other numbnuts out there that is just going to cover every little detail simply because nobody has to do anything. And as soon as I saw that shit, I'm like, oh, bye. Let me leave the fucking room. So I am here. And if you want to get an idea, for those that are live, want an idea as far as what topics we're going to get into, you could go check out the synopsis for tonight's show. A couple of things went down yesterday in NXT Roadblock. If you've been following this show for the last few weeks, you know, we pretty much threw it out there. And, you know, I had a little bit of a rant yesterday on Patreon because of the lack of attention that anybody gave about the idea that Johnny Gargano was going to return to NXT to take on Grayson Waller for Stand and Deliver. I mean, everybody talks about long-term booking. Everybody talks about storylines that should make sense. You think about when Johnny Gargano left so him and his wife could have their first child and the way he was laid out by Grayson Waller. I mean, it wrote itself. It was common sense. You know, and I saw something over the last 2 weeks. You know, even though that was the logical, almost obvious solution to who Grayson Waller was going to face at Stand and Deliver. You know, I watched for 2 weeks people that knew it was going to be Waller versus Johnny Gargano and still clickbaited about Shawn Michaels returning to the ring. Clickbaited that it was going to be Dragon Lee. I mean, with all due respect, Dragon Lee is really, really good. He's going to be a star in WWE. They will make him a star, even though he is good. You know, sometimes, you know, it doesn't always click. But the idea that people think that Shawn Michaels would have brought out Dragon Lee and the crowd would have went bonkers, you know, that's like Bizarro Land. That's the same mentality of if Jay White showed up at the Royal Rumble. Jay White is a top performer, but he's not a household name, especially amongst the WWE universe yet. And the idea of what I've watched, and what really upset me about this whole Gargano stuff, I don't take it personal. I mean, it's obvious I'm a fan of Johnny Gargano. But since people are so attuned to storylines, storyline detail, great writing, things that write itself, and for the last 2 weeks, you know, this was thrown out there that this is good. This was the thumbnail from over 2 weeks ago. And I watched people online avoiding this topic because they didn't come up with it originally themselves. So they just clickbait and clickbait. And then once the reveal happened yesterday, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Long-term booking. I'm like, oh, go suck my you-know-what. As Andrew Dice Clay would say, oh, go suck my Dick Tracy. You know, I mean, that's lame. But you know what? If you did not see NXT yesterday, now, obviously, we can't really play clips anymore over a certain amount of time because of, you know, copyright issues. But in this case, I like the audio better because, look, NXT, and listen, we are going to talk later about Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. There is a big problem there. And the fans may actually force WWE's hand into changing something. We'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, the NXT building, I was there late last year. I was in that building, and there's a vibe in there. You know, when you hear rumors, oh, there were signs planted, there were fans planted, and this and that, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. The vibe in there is legit. These are the same fans almost every week, and those are the ones that have the interest in NXT in mind. You look at a lot of remarks posted online. Joe Gacy, Joe fucking Gacy, tonight addressed it on social media. He went on his Twitter, and he was talking about all these people in droves yesterday that were ripping the shit out of Joe Gacy, and more often than not, these people admitted they don't even watch NXT. What? You're like, this is not directed towards your casual wrestling fan, your hardcore AEW fan that doesn't watch NXT. Not the people out there that don't like Johnny Gargano. All right? For as small of a building that is, okay, when last night when Shawn Michaels was on the Grayson Waller effect, and that was awesome. It was awesome because they were going there. The only reason why you're in this position is because your mate had a heart attack. You know, they will get very, very raw. I mean, the one that I always remember is Seth Rollins and Riddle, Matt Riddle. What did you say? I'll fuck you up. It feels real. When storylines feel real, that's when they're at their finest. That's what Bryan Danielson tonight on Dynamite, his storyline amongst this whole thing made more sense and power tonight than anything that they've done in the last 2 weeks with MJF, 3 weeks. And I'll explain why a little bit later. But, you know, as small as that building is, all right, you know, you hear pops. Yeah, here's a good one. Tonight, Ricky Starks comes out. Now, think about this. It was less than 2 months ago that Ricky Starks and MJF had a moment that might be in the top 10 of the year in pro wrestling. Their confrontation in the ring. They had a battle. MJF came out on top. And then suddenly the Jericho Appreciation Society showed up. And a lot of us were like, oh, fuck. It's not anything against the JAS. It's AEW's way of saying, okay, we got to shift Ricky Starks. We got to get him away from this title. We got to get him away. We cannot have this momentum. We need to shift it. So they shifted it. With the Jericho Appreciation Society. He has to face this person. He has to face all of them. He has to do a gauntlet. He's got to do this. He's got to fight Jericho twice. All right, so now that's all done. All right, Tony. All right, you put it off for 6 or 7 weeks. Now what are you going to do about Ricky Starks? So Ricky Starks, think about this. He comes out on TV. It's not his fault. It's the storyline. He comes out on TV tonight and he cuts a promo. And he says, you know, after everything that he's done, beating the Jericho Appreciation Society, what's next for Ricky Starks? And this motherfucker actually says, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That is AEW. So what happens? Bullet Club pops up on the screen. Bullet Club. Yeah, the same Bullet Club that pops up on Impact screen, the same logo that's popped up everywhere for well over, what, decade? And Juice Robinson hits the ring. Motherfucker lays out Ricky Starks. Juice Robinson versus Ricky Starks. I think it'll be good. But I then go on AEW social media. And AEW social media has the balls to say Forbidden Door opened. Excuse me. Juice Robinson has been signed to AEW for what? 5 weeks already? What fucking Forbidden Door? Oh, well, he's back in Bullet Club. The fuck does that have to do with, does that change anything? So they see the Bullet Club logo and people are like, ah! And who attacks them? Somebody that's already signed to AEW. Why does this have to do with Gargano? You want to hear a natural, honest reaction to somebody showing up on their product? Shawn Michaels tells Grayson Waller yesterday, no, you're not facing me. An NXT Standard Deliver. this happened.
Grayson Waller, your opponent at Stand and Deliver is this man.
You gotta be kidding me!
Very cool.
He's back!
Very cool.
Johnny Wrestling, you got to be kidding me.
Crowd launched their shit. Huge pop. That's what it's all about. Yes, I agree. I like his previous song, but this isn't that bad. But do you hear that reaction? That's not like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what are we going to get? You know, that's the difference. That's the wrestling that I enjoy. And there's a lot in AEW that I do enjoy. But this insistence that things have to be epic, amazing, unbelievable, controversial, this and that, it's mind-boggling. And to see the finish of Dynamite tonight with QT Marshall coming out there, do you realize it's over 4 years? You realize it's four fucking years that, you know, like somebody in AEW just doesn't have the balls to say, listen, man, you work awesome in the office. I thank you for all this stuff, but you just... Nah, not on the TV. You want to raise, you want a little bit more power, fine, but no. No. I mean, these are the people running the show, and this is what we get. Fucking awful. Awful. Something that is not awful, let's get it out of the way quick. Last week, we did a ratings predictions contest. Now, unfortunately, the NXT rating last week came out before we went live on Wednesday. So we couldn't do the NXT rating. We did AEW instead. And somebody last week was going to win their choice of either this Gigi Dolin photo or this Gigi Dolin photo or this Gigi Dolin photo. No, the Don Tony watermark will not be included. So who was the closest guessing the rating? Last week, AEW did 833,000 viewers, which is, to me, a disappointment. But props to... Kishon predicted 840. Kishon, reach out to me. You are the winner. You get to choose whichever one of those three Gigi Dolin photos. I should have done something like if anybody gets it on the head, they get all three. But yeah, pretty awesome. All right, so Johnny Gargano is officially back for WrestleMania. Obviously, there was no match for WrestleMania night one or two for Johnny Gargano. And that's not a knock on Johnny Gargano. It just, this year was not his year. You know, but as we found out yesterday, he will be taking on Grayson Waller at Stand and Deliver. Another match yesterday that was made official is Bron Breakker taking on Carmelo Hayes. And props, I think people are really starting to learn now that, you know, fans have not turned on Bron Breakker. You know, they just are ready for Carmelo Hayes to be the leader of NXT. You know, even signs of respect yesterday between the two. Carmelo Hayes is a heel. It's going to be really interesting to see how they use Carmelo Hayes once he beats Bron Breakker at Stand and Deliver. Now, I got two matches for you that are not official, but they are being heavily, heavily discussed. In actually three matches. Two are more than likely to occur at Stand and Deliver. One is a long shot, and then we'll segue into Roxanne Perez. If you saw the thumbnail for tonight's show, you got an idea of where I'm going with this tonight. Two matches that they are seriously considering right now, and I got this from someone who I do speak to in Florida who does give me info. You know, I don't make it news on the sites because if you tune into what I say, do here, then you are the ones that deserve to hear it. Ilya Dragunov versus JD McDonagh. And people are already saying that this could rival Walter versus Ilya from last year. They are seriously considering. They feel they need one, like, really pure wrestling just out. Flat out war, because Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes is going to be great, but it's going to be more of the sports entertainment vibe to it, because that's kind of what Bron Breakker has developed into. his mantra, his wrestling, is more for the WWE main roster. You know, Carmelo Hayes is not at that point yet. Listen, Carmelo Hayes has a couple of catchphrases and everything, but he's ready for the main roster too. But there's no rush. You do not bring Carmelo Hayes to the main roster simply because you think he should come to the main roster. Because then what do you do after he's there? How is he going to leapfrog so many people that are getting a better opportunity right now? That's why when we talked about other people in the past, and most recently the one, Indy Hartwell, you had all these people out there, you know, like, bring it to the main roster. I'm doing all these, like, petitions. And I'm like, yeah, what's going to happen when she goes up there? She's going to get squashed by Doudrop. Oh, excuse me. Piper Nevin. You know, like, bringing someone to the main roster is nice. What do you do with them once they're there? Think about Emma. Think about a few others. Hit Row didn't work out the way they were hoping. You just don't bring someone to the main roster just to do that. But Ilya Dragunov versus JD McDonough is a match that they are seriously considering. And that probably would be the match of the night if that goes down. Another match that they are seriously considering, and a lot of people are already starting to put two and two together and they feel it, Wes Lee, the Battle of the Lees. Wes Lee versus Dragon Lee. Wes Lee's been doing the open invitationals, the open challenge, and Dragon Lee may actually take Wes Lee up on his offer. So we may get Dragon Lee versus Wes Lee at Stand and Deliver. Now, a match that has been discussed, but it is a long shot. It is a long shot because even though she has improved so well, it might be a little too soon. There has been some talk about the possibility of having Tiffany Stratton challenge Roxanne Perez at Stand and Deliver for the championship. I will be surprised if that match happens. Tiffany Stratton, because not enough people watch NXT, she definitely should have been considered in Rookie of the Year voting or Most Improved Wrestler, whatever you want to choose. Because you look at Tiffany Stratton 1 year ago to now, it's like two totally different wrestlers. But because not enough people see her in action, all they know is the moonsault that she does. That's and the outfits that she wears. That's what a majority of fans out there know her for. Just little clips. They don't follow every week. But I also agree. Tiffany Stratton getting a world title shot right now, even for WrestleMania weekend, I think it's too soon. Very too soon. Now, let's briefly address Roxanne Perez yesterday. And I'm also going to address a narrative that is going around online. And then we will segue that to a rumor killer. Then we'll discuss another narrative. The latter two have to do with AEW. Yesterday at NXT Roadblock, Roxanne Perez took on Maiko Satomura. Now, if you would have paid attention early on with her promo, she talked about how she was going to push her body to limits that she's never pushed them before. Seed planted. All right, Shawn Michaels, okay? There's no reason, there is nothing wrong with taking storylines or moments from yesteryear that you were involved in that were epic and repurposing it. That's what wrestling's all about. You think everything that what MJF does is original? A lot of it is Roddy Piper. A lot of it is others. You know, other people's moves, catchphrases. You know, people have repurposed things that happened years ago. So Gigi Dolin getting kicked in the face and turned on by JC Jane, a lot of people felt it was like the parlor. You know, when Shawn Michaels super kicked Marty Jannetty and threw him through the plate glass window. A lot of people thought that was what it was about. Yesterday, you know, much love to a lot of you out there. Much love. But you knew that I was going to have to rub it in your face a little bit. Elimination Chamber. You remember when we did the recap for Elimination Chamber? I did my recap 5 minutes after the event ended. And when we talked about the men's Elimination Chamber match, I brought up Montez Ford. And when Montez Ford, got knocked for a loop, And we were trying to figure out where that actually happened. And he got up and he collapsed and everything. A boatload of people on social media, including me, were concerned. Is he okay? You know, is he all right? Once about maybe 6-7 hours went by and people found out that it was diversion so Logan Paul could attack Seth Rollins, then you saw the geniuses showing up on social media, YouTube, everywhere else. DT, I'm ashamed of you. I'm disappointed. How could you not realize that was total work? Like all the scholars immediately, oh, I know it was a work all along. And I don't apologize because me, I cared about his well-being more than anything else. I am relieved that it was an angle. I'm glad that he didn't really get hurt. That's what matters. Not, oh, you should have. So what happened yesterday? Roxanne Perez has her match against Satomura. It is a flat-out brawl. She took her body to limits that she had never been before. She gets up, and then she collapses. All the referees come to ringside, doctors, Booker T pulls off the headset, very, very worried. Shawn Michaels looks concerned. And all you saw last night was, oh, my God, Roxanne Perez, she's rushed to the hospital. Oh, my God, is she okay? Oh, my God, she collapsed. Oh, my God, I'm really, really worried. Holy shit. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I didn't say a word about it because I said, you know what? Let me find out what happened before I say anything. What did I find out? There's the thumbnail, everyone. Who gets the slammy? Who gets the slammy for the better performance, everyone? Roxanne Perez doing shades of Shawn Michaels 1995 when he collapsed in the middle of the ring. You all ripped, not all of you, but a lot of you ripped me for thinking Montez Ford may have been legitimately injured. And all I read from a lot of you last night was, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, Roxanne Perez went to the hospital. Oh, my God, she collapsed. Holy shit, this fucked up storyline. Storyline. You should be happy that both are okay. Now, I want to address a narrative that is floating around online. I read a lot of people today saying, you know, WWE, can you please stop doing that? You know, we really were worried about Roxanne Perez. Could you please stop, you know, like simulating that somebody collapses from a head injury or something? Could we stop? Eat a fucking Snickers bar. Go fucking draw with your crayons or your chalk on the sidewalk. Go fucking run in circles outside. Go play with fucking dandelions and little puppies. Fucking pro wrestling is not for you. For decades and decades and decades, there has been stretcher jobs. Just because you, it felt too real to you or you got fooled, WWE, could you please stop? Could you please stop teasing me like that? I was worried sick. I couldn't go to sleep. Maybe you couldn't go to sleep because you should be eating that heavy at night. I should talk. I'm reading this petitions from people. You know, that's just a little too far. But fuck you. Last night, it wasn't a giveaway when Shawn Michaels is around the doctors? And Shawn Michaels literally takes the oxygen mask and goes. He literally took an oxygen mask. I don't even know if it was connected. And he literally, the doctors wearing gloves. They have her in a stretcher, put her in the ambulance, and Shawn Michaels picks it up. He puts it on her fucking nose. That hurt. I don't have oxygen masks nearby, so I had to use electrical tape. It was storyline. Be happy she was okay. Where this goes from here, I don't know. Too bad they couldn't have it where it was the person who attacked Nikita Lyons and what's her face? Oh, God, drawing a blank. The one that sleeps all the time, Wendy Chu. Sorry, Wendy. It's late. I'm tired. I want to get to bed. QT Marshall fucked my night up, man. It's like when you're about to have sex and then the fucking collector calls your house or somebody rings your doorbell and it's the wrong house, or a parent calls you up, or, you know, you're about to do the nasty and then somebody else farts. That's what the QT Marshall was tonight. It's almost like you get a carpet munch and then all of a sudden you hear, no, I'm not into that. No, thank you. That was a fart, man. God, I'm still trying to recoup from that earlier. So she's okay. All right. Another thing, it's a little out of order, but, you know, we're not focusing on recaps. I ain't doing that shit. Everybody else does that. I'll get into the match results. Plus, we will ponder who Jay Cargill's opponent's going to be next week. I think I have an idea, and I'll share it with you in a few moments. Let's talk briefly. Actually, you know what? Before we talk about the MJF fan water bottle incident, a few people were surprised at my take on it. FTR. They showed up at the Revolution pay-per-view, and they confronted the Guns tonight on Dynamite. They got on the mic, and, you know, they talked about why they needed to go leave for a little while, but they are back, and they want the Guns. Point, plain and simple. They feel the Guns are spoiled, entitled, disrespectful assholes, and they're going to get those championships that they should have gotten last year. I think everybody and their mother realizes, listen, you could sugarcoat that FTR was tag team of the year last year because you want to hide the last 3 months where it's just a disaster. You want to hide the fact that they had all these sets of belts, but they didn't have the belts on the company that they're on TV for. You know, so people want to just cover it up like, well, we'll just give them tag team of the year anyway because no harm done. No harm done. Well, here's a rumor killer. I saw a bunch of websites in the last 48 hours saying that FTR signed new contracts and they're staying in AEW. And this may lead to CM Punk's return. That is not news, everyone. That is what you call hope. That is hope. Dax, one of the things that people love about Dax Harwood and what some hate about Dax Harwood is that guy is not very good at lying. Sometimes people think he's incapable of lying. Sometimes he talks too honest. And that's what rubs people the wrong way on his podcast. Either people love it or people hate it. Well, he went on his podcast to tell everyone nothing has changed as far as their status in AEW. Their deals are up in April. We're not in April yet. Tony Khan asked him to come back early. And Tony Khan asked him, could you help us with the Guns? Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal was not enough of it. Did you see tonight the Acclaimed? They got the Ricky Starks treatment. You know, they're not going to keep going after the Guns to get their titles back. They may perceive it on TV. But no, now you got Matt Menard and Mr. Parker. Now they're going to go at it with the Acclaimed, the little diversionary tactic. Look, you know, you want to get somebody out of the title picture, have them feud with someone from the Jericho Appreciation Society. And again, that's not a knock on those guys. But you got to read between the lines. As of right now, Dax Harwood has told everyone their contracts are still up soon. They have not signed a new deal. I'm not saying they're not going to sign a new deal. They could end up getting a deal to next week, next month, 2 weeks from now. We don't know. But as of right now, there is hope by a lot of people, not news. FTR has not signed a new contract extension yet. So want to make that clear because people are trying to, you know, get that little exclusive, little premature ejaculation on their reporting part. So AEW Revolution is in the books. Tremendous. You don't have to have 14 matches to put on a phenomenal card. Emotionally, I think everybody was spent from the night, but physically, a very, very manageable amount of time. And MJF versus Bryan Danielson put on a 67-minute masterpiece. I will even say that. Now, I have watched in the last 72 hours, a lot of people, mostly younger people, who say that is the greatest Iron Man match in the history of pro wrestling. Now, a lot of you want my opinion about it. My friends, I ask you, is this match the greatest Iron Man match in the history of pro wrestling? Well, I will answer it like this. I have not seen every Iron Man match that has ever happened in pro wrestling. So I'm not going to turn around and say that some baseball player is the greatest of all time when I didn't watch a lot of players from way back before I was even a sperm egg. All right. I will say this. In my lifetime watching Iron Man matches, that 67 minutes was a boatload of fun. I probably enjoyed that Iron Man match more than any other Iron Man match that I have seen. Being straight up honest with you, 67 minutes is very, very hard to keep people's attention like that. Now, don't get me wrong. We have seen Seth Rollins do gauntlet matches on Raw where he almost went an hour. We've seen others wrestle an hour where it's not even, technically an Iron Man match. Just a 60-minute time limit. But this told an incredible story. I will say this, though. The only reason why I don't know if I would call it the greatest Iron Man match in history, as far as what I have seen, I separate two different things. The match itself was a masterpiece. It was a masterpiece. Everything from beginning to end, I could watch it again. It's not going to lose shelf life. I could watch that match in 10 years. I'll enjoy it just as much. The problem I had with it was the build to this. Why did the Iron Man match have to be the first encounter between these two guys? How they went so hardcore, deep and offensive, and the things that they were doing. You know, you would think that they would have had at least one match. Maybe it ends with a bullshit finish. Another match, maybe somebody is left laying. You know, me personally, going into Revolution, I wanted to see Bryan Danielson just beat the shit out of MJF. Not chain wrestle. You know, like, if it would have led to an Iron Man match later on where, you know, MJF mocks Bryan Danielson as far as the best wrestler in the world, and that leads to that, that's fine. If they had one or two battles and it goes to a 10-minute time limit draw, you do a match on TV, 10-minute time limit draw. You do, okay, we'll have another match, 30-minute time limit draw, no winner. Then, you know what? 1 hour Iron Man match must be a winner. And you go to the time limit, expiration, you go overtime, and then you have what you have. This felt, at the end of that match, this felt like the end of a feud. This should have been the beginning of a feud. It feels like I watched the end of a movie, and I'm like, wait, where's the first hour and a half of the movie? That's how I felt after watching this. If I just want to watch a random Iron Man match for 60-plus minutes and be entertained to the max, I tune into that match. But as far as feud storyline goes, I feel like I watched the last 15 minutes of a movie. That's how I feel. And tonight, Bryan Danielson, you know, saying, oh, after the match, he couldn't feel his arms, he couldn't feel his legs, and this and that. You know, by the way, people are asking, or I saw in the chat room earlier, is that true? From what I understand, no, it's not true. Very, very tired, very, very sore, but, you know, this is storyline. But he said it's time for him to go home. So he's going to take a little bit of a break, spend it with his family. Well deserved. Bryan Danielson has been, you know, listen, CM Punk could have been, you know, Kenny Omega might put up a good argument as well, but you look at the history of AEW, Bryan Danielson may be the MVP, the number one guy. I know Moxley was MVP for a particular year and other wrestlers have been wrestler of the year, but I think as far as their career goes in AEW, Bryan Danielson arguably should be number one. I just feel everything he has done, he has given 200%. Everything, 200%. So do I say this is the greatest, you know, Iron Man match of all time? No. For my viewing, as far as watching the match and not thinking about the feud or the storyline or the build or anything else, yeah, it could very well be. But I felt like I was watching just the good parts of the movie and the finish, the climax. And I somehow missed the first hour and a half of the movie, or at least the first hour. And I'm like, how did we get to this point? Because it's over. It's over. Speaking of something that I thought was going to be over and it wasn't, was fucking Moxley and Hangman Page tonight. I mean, unless they're going to bring Hangman Page to a Ring of Honor taping, and he goes up against Claudio, all right, maybe. But after Revolution, you know, and Page's interview with Renee earlier on Dynamite, listen, Renee, I'm sorry you had to see what we went through, but as far as I'm concerned, this is over. Then it hit me. I'm like, why is Moxley facing Alex Reynolds and John Silver? Why is he still wrestling Dark Order people after Revolution? Why? Somebody's saying that to do with heel turns. There's 10,000 people they could have put in that ring to be a heel turn. He just finished with Paige, and he's still fighting Dark Order people. You know what this felt like tonight? Oh, there's a match coming up soon. Blackpool Combat Club versus Alex Reynolds, John Silver, and Evil Uno or something like that. I feel that coming. I'm like, come on. I thought we were fucking moving away with Moxley and Paige. Listen, I didn't even watch that match. When people were describing to me what they were doing in that match, I said, you know what? If I want to watch a 70s ninja movie and see blood squirt across the room, then I will. I've seen them brawl already. You know, I'm just not emotionally attached to it. In fact, I saw a super chat coming earlier, and this is interesting because I disagree with you, brother, but I know why you're saying this. Ronnie C with a 10 spot, he says, I heard your rant last night on Patreon about John Moxley. Is John Moxley turning into the white man's New Jack? The white man's New Jack. I would have never ever thought of something like that. Do I think so? No. No. But, hey, Moxley didn't bleed tonight. He did not bleed tonight. I think people started thinking early on, like, this might be the night he doesn't bleed. Moxley just, he loves that style, man. Listen, do you know why I can't rip on Moxley entirely for the type of matches that he keeps doing over and over and over again? Number one, because Tony Khan allows it. But number two, you know, I grew up hardcore ECW fan. I keep that banner up, you know, as a tribute. And believe me, there were some wrestlers in ECW that all they did was brawl and bleed. You know, Raven, as Scott Levy, was pretty damn good in the ring. Johnny Polo was a little bit of a cartoony, goofy character, but, you know, Scott Levy could wrestle. When he was Raven in ECW, you know, you did not want to see Raven chain wrestling. You know, you got some moves here and there. That motherfucker, all he do was brawl and bleed. I mean, nobody said that he was sick, had a problem or anything like that, so... You know, I just, this is Moxley's favorite style of a match. He likes to get physical. He likes to bleed. You know, look, we're not in 1995 anymore, Anti-M. You know, so I understand 2023, it's outdated. But do I think Moxley's turning into the white man's New Jack? No. But I think people, listen, when you see the blood and that type of violence every single week, you get numb to it. You get numb to it. You know, I brought this up with horror films. When I was a kid and I first went to horror films, I had nightmares. I cried. I got scared. I used to say to myself, Nanny, I love you. Why are you bringing me to these horrible films? I'm talking about early 80s. After a while, I got numb to it. I'm watching Dawn of the Dead. I'm like, hey, it's cool. I wish I could live in a mall for a week. You know, you see zombies ripping guts. If you watch that over and over, you get numb to it. You look at murderers, serial killers, And you hear about how they abuse animals first. I'm sorry for just going there, but, you know, let's be honest. You hear them say, oh, they, you know, people say, oh, they abuse animals first, and then they level up to this and they level up to that. And then you get around that violence so much, you get numb to it. It's not even disturbing anymore. You know, when my friend used to work for EMS, he was the one that used to take the pictures at the scenes of, you know, tragedies, accidents, murders. And, you know, if we first heard that that's what he was doing in EMS, you know, he's like, you know, look, the money's good, but it's fucked up and it's not. After about a year or two, a lot of you know this story already. I used to go camping. I got footage of it. And we're in the middle of the Adirondack Mountains. And he's like, hey, Anthony, did you see my wedding pictures? I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't know you got married. Why didn't you invite me to the wedding? Oh, it was just very, very close family. Look at my wedding pictures. I open it up, and it's somebody who got run over by a car, and their eyeball has popped out. Somebody got shot in the head and their brain. Somebody jumped off a building. And this is how he would troll us. He'd bring a photo album of all the pictures that he would took. He had copies. And to him, it was comedy. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's not real. So you get numb to it after a while. I mean, look, that and Moxley, I think, is a far stretch. But when you see something over and over and over and over again, you know, you get kind of numb to it. And I'm kind of numb to John Moxley right now in his type of style. Got to be honest with you. Got to be honest with you. Theme parks and things with Johnny. Thank you for the 10 spot as well. Those people should go to movie production companies and tell them to stop. He totally agrees with me. Yes. You know, we're watching entertainment. The reason why people acted that way towards Roxanne Perez yesterday is because people fell in love with her. She is a young person, hardcore wrestling fan. They see the pictures of her when she was a lot younger, going for autographs and saying, one day I'm going to do this. You can't help but to be a huge fan of Roxanne Perez or just have that love for her. So when this happens, you think the worst, and it's like, oh, my God, out of everybody, why her? You know, that's why that happened. But people, you know, convincing them, you know, trying to like, oh, stop with the – no. No, you don't stop that. Now, listen, you got to be careful how far you go with it because, to me, Ric Flair faking a heart attack, one of the worst things that I ever saw on television. I just thought it was awful. Faking a heart attack – faking something like that, that's different. But, you know, she planted the seed earlier. I'm going to push my body to areas that it never got pushed before. She collapsed. She collapsed of exhaustion. The storyline, I could almost guarantee the storyline's going to come out that she was exhausted. Exhausted. You could be dehydrated. They could use dehydrated, exhausted, this and that. And then you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But people have a fondness and they care about Roxanne Perez, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, but yeah, those petitions got to stop. Now, speaking of things like this, I want to segue for a moment to MJF and the controversy that went down. Now, I touched on this briefly on Monday's show. Somebody had brought it up. I don't know if it was a super chat or something, but I said that I'm really going to talk about it Wednesday because Wednesday is set aside for AEW, NXT, MLW, non-Raw SmackDown stuff. MJF at ringside at Revolution sees a mother with a water bottle, grabs a water bottle, opens it up, squirts it a little water on the kid. You would have thought that this kid got like bashed with the guardrail or a chair went flying and hit him in the head. I mean, you heard after that he met with like 19 different people. He's invited for another show. He got a little fucking water on him. Should MJF have done it? No. 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 It shouldn't have been done. But the way people were treating it, like when I saw that, my immediate reaction was this, and I'm going to show it to you. And I was baffled that all the people that I respect in the journalistic world and the podcasting world, people that I like, I'm like, I can't wait for one of them to have a field day with this. I waited. I didn't see it. The first thing I thought about was this. This, the disclaimer, the warning that AEW started posting recently, a new fan code of conduct. It's not even a code of conduct. It's a warning. This was new. This is not one of those from a year and a half ago. For those that never read this new warning that AEW started putting at shows, the warning says, and I quote, listen to this. If you have a seat on the floor, you are at risk of being struck by persons, objects, barricades, or other items. Please be aware of this action as you are watching and move out of the way if someone or something is coming your way. By staying in this area, you assume all risks of injury to yourself and to your property. All right? So, sure, when MJF goes around that area, I'm sure the little kid didn't expect to have water thrown on him. But, you know, I always think back to Terry Funk. Terry Funk, my favorite wrestler of all time. Japan is extra special. But go to watch Terry Funk indie shows in Michigan in the early 90s. If you want a really good example of it, go on YouTube, type in Terry Funk, Al Snow, Terry Funk, Sabu, early 90s, but you got to type in Michigan. You will see a boatload of house shows, gymnasium shows, and Terry Funk would always go into the crowd, threaten people, throw chairs their way, and it would be like the floodgates would open. Soon as he went anywhere near the crowd, and in Japan, it was extra special because when he hopped the guardrail, you saw everybody like, no, let me get out of here. No, 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 out of here. No, 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 no. People would just bolt, get out of the fucking way. In my opinion, that disclaimer was put up for reasons like what happened with MJF. Because every lawyer, wannabe lawyer, people who play lawyers on TV, they all were quick to go on social media saying, oh, AEW would never stand a chance in court. Just because you put that warning up, if somebody gets hurt, they still get sued. You can't just say, hey, if you show up, you know, I'm going to, you could get hurt. Hey, be warning everyone. You know what it reminded me of? This. For those that are looking at this on the screen, that is Gallagher, who recently passed away. Gallagher, if you never saw him, don't know what I'm talking about, do his YouTube search on him. This guy would do it was entertainment, and he would be at venues. And my mom and my aunt went to one of his shows in the 80s. And this guy would take sledgehammers and destroy watermelons on the stage. And what you see on your screen right now is not a scene from a horror film. That is him bashing a watermelon. And he would bash other things as well. My point is that you go to a Gallagher show and they say, look, be warned that you could get hit with debris or something like that. You know that, hey, if you get hit with something, hey, you were warned. Yes. You don't justify AEW shit, but I just showed you a Gallagher. My point is that some moron, let's be honest, some moron with an AEW actually came up with this. Hey, man, hey, let's put this thing on the screen. So this way, if a wrestler dives into the crowd, or maybe a wrestler throws something at the crowd, or maybe like somebody splashes water on someone or throws a beer in their face or takes their food and dumps it in their, you know, they should have, this is the warning. If you're on the floor, you're subject to anything. That's it. You know, if you don't like it, run. Get out of the way. You don't do it. You don't do it, period. You know, listen, when I used to go to ECW events, and you could even see me at Guilty as Charged 2000. And look at Rob Van Dam when he dives into the crowd. It's right next to me. And what happened was when he pulled the guardrails towards the ring and he is about to dive into the crowd, he looked at us and he went like this, like gave us a wink, like warn us, get the fuck out of the way. Now, do you think because I paid a ticket, I don't have to move? I'm not going anywhere. No. I fucking loved the show. Everybody fucking moved out of the way, and he fucking dove and went into the crowd, and everybody's like, holy shit, holy shit. It was not right what MJF did with this kid. It was a fucking little spray of water. Oh, my God, got traumatized. How's this? How's this? I'm not judging the mother. Not judging the mother. Think about what else you saw in that card that night. Hangman Page's blood is squirting across the ring. You look at the weapons and the violence, and that's okay. But little water on the chest. Look, 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 everybody, look, water. Look, I didn't melt. Look, look, look. Ah, it's cold. I'm going to survive. The little kid's traumatized. The next time the mom hoses the kid down, come on. I got water everywhere. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And I don't care if it was staged, not staged, this and that. It's just the visual you're telling your audience. You know, I'm going to say something about MJF right now. I'm going to give a warning. No, it's not a warning at MJF. I like MJF. One of my favorites. I love his the fact that he loves Roddy Piper as much as he does is good enough for me. Let me make a warning. What I'm afraid of with MJF is this. I'm not afraid of him going to WWE in the future and he won't be able to say half the things he says now. Under the Triple H reign, maybe he could say a little bit more. Half the things he says, he wouldn't be able to say in WWE. I'm not even worried about that. Because when someone is that good, they'll be able to amend it. The Dudleys are a perfect example. Bubba Ray Dudley, whether you like him or you despise him, Bubba Ray Dudley, when we used to go to ECW shows, when I used to go with my ex, and she wasn't even a wrestling fan, but because I always had awesome seats, especially for the Elks Lodge, you know, when he would start bashing the crowd and, you know, just totally rip on people, like, I would always be really, really worried, like, you know, if he says something towards me or makes fun of me in front of my ex, you know, I'm a New York guy. My ego's going to get hurt, but I'm not going to be able to do anything about it. I just don't want to be embarrassed. You know, one of the worst traumatizing experiences I ever had in my life, I've never revealed this on the show before, but I'll reveal it now. I used to go to San Gennaro feasts. And any of you out there that live in my neck of the woods, some of you over the years have said, hey, DT, you're going to San Gennaro this year. And I've said, nah, I'm not going to go. I'm going to reveal a true story. It was either 1988 or 1989. Me and my friends went to the San Gennaro feast. And we all had dates that time. I don't remember who I was dating, but we all went to the feast and we were all couples and we're all walking around. Now, you know, just think of my age now. I'm not even drinking age yet. But, you know, I'm a chunky monkey. And we're walking down the thing, and we see Zeppelis and other stuff, and there's this clown. I swear on my mother, there's this clown that is sitting in a dunk tank, and he's ragging on everybody as they walk by. And as I walk by, he's like, oh, look at this fat fuck greaseball over there. Look at him. He looks like he's sweating oil. Yeah, the one with the white pants. I was the only one wearing white pants. I felt this big, and was the worst part about it. I was with a date, and the only way I could retaliate was give $5 for 5 softballs. Come on, motherfucker, you fat fuck, throw me in the tank. Go ahead, motherfucker. All right, you missed. Do you miss with your girl? It made me feel like shit. I felt this big that night. I never went to a San Gennaro feast ever again. No bullshit. No joke. Where I'm going with this with MJF is you can only go so far. And you can't start incorporating the crowd. If you start doing it and people find out that they're plants, it's going to make MJF look fake. MJF lives his character. As long as he's in front of someone and not expecting to snap a photo, think Stadium Stampede, you know what I'm talking about. MJF lives it 24/7, 365. He's around the public 24/7, 365. MJF eats, sleeps, shits his gimmick. And he does it brilliantly, and that's why he stands out so much compared to everyone else. If he starts doing this, and we find out that the person in the crowd was fake, makes MJF look fake. That is what I'm worried about with MJF. And I'm also worried about something else with MJF. Jack Swagger, Zeb Coulter. Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter, when they were doing the We the People thing, it's one of my favorite storylines back then because I was into the Tea Party stuff. I was into a lot of politics. I'm not into politics anymore. I fucking hate it. But at that time, one of the greatest gimmicks, when he was talking about the border and everything else, Zeb Coulter, I'm like, yeah, he's fucking saying everything that we always talk about. And then they went too far. They went too far. And I'll never forget that time that they did a video and Zeb Coulter, I'm Dutch Mantel. I'm Jake Hager. We play characters on TV. It's it. Characters were dead. What I'm worried about is one day MJF is going to take it a little too far. A little too far where it could turn legal. Not necessarily criminal, but he's going to take it a little too far in the public and then may be forced to retreat, apologize, backtrack. The funny thing is, like, if he went to an airport and somebody went in his face and said, can I get an autograph? And he smashes the phone on the ground or a camera. I honestly think if the cops pulled up and arrested him, I honestly feel like MJF would go to jail and not and say, look, you know, a person got in my face. I made a mistake. Like, I don't think like he would backtrack and say, look, you know, I was just, you know, being a character. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm fearing that Zeb Coulter, Jack Swagger moment with MJF, that he goes a little too far and then they have to pull back on it. Disclaimers like this are not needed. They are not needed. You should always feel safety first for the people who attend your shows. Not beware, something may fly and hit you in the face. If you see something coming, if people decide to brawl into the crowd, get the fuck out of the way or you might get hurt. No, safety first, man. You should not have to put your viewers into a situation where they feel like something can happen. That's just my opinion. But a lot of you were asking me in the last 72 hours about the incident. I didn't think it was a big deal. At the same time, though, I don't think it should have happened, especially in 2023. It shouldn't have happened. And I think this disclaimer, as much as you may think that I'm wrong, you know, I think I'm right. I think this disclaimer, this is an example of it. Hey, look, you sit ringside, you know, hey, or, you know, bad guy may actually, you know, drop your popcorn, tear your sign, throw a little water on you. The water's dry already. I kid you not. I swear to my mother. I swear on my mother right now, the water is fucking dry. It ain't that hot in this room. You know, I mean, you would have thought, now if it would have been a soda, it would have been something else, like a hot dog with mustard. And a little kid is wiping the mustard off his face. That'd be like, you know, a little different. A little fucking water. All right. So, let's move on. Let's move on. One last thing about AEW Revolution. Have you noticed now in the last 3 days, now everybody is concerned about Christian Cage's future. I think yesterday might have been the exact 2-year anniversary of his debut. Remember, Outwork Everyone? A lot of people are concerned. Is Christian Cage's career done in AEW? I hope so. I loved what he did in AEW when he was on camera. I want him involved in the Edge retirement. He could always go back to AEW in a year or two if he still wants to do it. I'm hoping that Christian Cage is done with AEW, goes back to WWE, gets involved in the Edge storyline, because if Edge goes out in 2023, and some people think it's going to be a lot sooner than we expect, I would like Christian to be involved in it. That's just me as a wrestling fan going back decades. You know, I loved what Christian... Listen, props to Christian to go to AEW, because you know for a fact WWE was not going to give him this kind of opportunity. To be able to talk the way he did, to be able to, you know, just reveal everything about it. Shit, I even enjoyed Ruby Soho tonight. Ruby Soho aligning with Toni Storm and Saraya really didn't make much sense. Which side is she on? Tonight, she made it make sense. And it was so obvious that you didn't even have to think about it all that much. And you could use that template for anybody else who has joined AEW that have been known for somewhere else. Ruby Soho cuts a promo tonight, and she says, you know, Saraya, Toni Storm, myself, you know, we came from other places, and all we've been treated as is outcast over here. Toni Storm wasn't treated well once she came in here. Ruby Soho, when she first came in, talked about a couple of opportunities that she had, and when she beat Chris Statlander in that tournament, she got booed out of the building. She says that all of these fat AEW neckbeards are the ones who created this monster. Tony Khan helped create this monster. She talks about Saraya, that everybody was begging Saraya, come out of retirement, come to AEW, and she comes to AEW, and people just keep ripping the shit out of her. So that's why she aligned with Saraya and Toni Storm. Makes perfect sense. I wouldn't have even done the last 3 weeks of stuff. I would have just done it out of nowhere. You could have had, I don't want to say Ruby Soho would have been like Hogan Bash at the Beach when he's just walking down the rampway and people don't understand, what is he doing here? You could have simply had Ruby Soho show up in a match between Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter, or Saraya and Jamie Hayter, or somebody else. And during the match, Ruby Soho comes down and people are like, what is Ruby Soho doing here? You know, and then she does what she does. And then she probably could have cut this promo at Revolution. If she would have cut this promo at Revolution, I think it would have went. I think she probably would have got garbage tossed at her. But I loved her promo today. Made sense. Made sense. She beat Sky Blue. After the match is over, she goes to spray paint Sky Blue, and here comes Willow Nightingale, her buddy. And they are buddies no more, because Saraya and Toni Storm beat on Willow. She got spray painted. And, you know, that split with Ruby Soho, they'll probably have a match. Hopefully they don't bleed too much. You know, I don't like seeing women bleed. You know, not, you know, gushing. A little blood, you know, definitely works with feuds. But they'll probably have a match now. But speaking of Dynamite, couple other things from tonight. Orange Cassidy beat Jay Lethal to retain the All-Atlantic Championship. That's not the news, though. The news is after the match is over, Jeff Jarrett gets involved. Jeff Jarrett hits him with the stroke, bashes one of those cardboard guitars on Orange Cassidy's leg. Tony Khan makes an announcement later on that next week in Winnipeg, Orange Cassidy is going to defend the championship against Jeff Jarrett, but it's not the All-Atlantic Championship anymore. They have, as they called it, they have re-upped it. They have upped it, re-upped it. It is now, the AEW All-Atlantic Championship is now the AEW International Championship. The only reason why I don't like it is because one of the first things that we said about the All-Atlantic Championship is that, is this title going to be defended in all different countries? And it really wasn't. And the majority of times this title is defended is the United States. So now you're making it even more international by calling it an AEW International Championship. Now, let me be honest with you. Between the two names, I love AEW International Championship. Should have been called that from the beginning. But, you know, yes, it's going to be fought in Winnipeg next week, but probably 90% of the future title defense is all going to happen in the United States. You know, AEW ain't touring the world like WWE is starting to do. You're not going to see them overseas all that often. So making it even more international, unless somebody wins it and defends it in Japan. That could happen. But it is interesting. So now instead of creating new titles, we're just rebranding them. So what title is going to be rebranded next or re-upped? They're re-upping them, you know, they're upgrading them. That's what they're trying to portray it as. So let's see. FTR, we talked about earlier. Jericho Appreciation Society over Top Flight and AR Fox. Jake Hager with the bat to the back of Dante Martin. Jericho hits the Judas Effect. They win. After they are done, we get a promo from Jericho Appreciation Society. They were celebrating the one-year anniversary of them forming and a little seed that was planted. They call themselves the greatest trios match tonight, and Jericho thinks that they should be the number one contenders for the trios titles. Lights go out because they would challenge House of Black to show up. Lights go out. We think House of Black are going to show up, and instead, the Elite on the stage. Kenny Omega starts cutting a promo on Jericho. I did find it funny, you know, we've stood out of your hair the last 3 years and thinking about, you know, some of the things that went down, you know, selective memory. But before Kenny Omega could finish saying what he's saying, here comes Don Callis. He grabs the mic from Kenny Omega. Don Callis starts going off on Jericho. And they're playing baby faces, obviously. And Don Callis calls Jericho the second best wrestler to ever come out of Winnipeg, insinuating that Kenny Omega's number one. Even joked and said if you give him a couple of months, Jericho would be number three because Don Callis would be number two. So they feel that they are the number one contenders. So we get a little trickery with the House of Black. The lights go out. We get on this Titantron screen, and it's a pre-recorded message from the House of Black, and Malakai Black is saying, look, guys, you know, it's pre-recorded. Somehow they knew they'd be arguing. Hey, look, guys, you know, both of yous want a shot at these championships. The lights go out again. 10 seconds later, they're all the way up the rampway. Then just bring it. So next week in Winnipeg, we're going to have the Jericho Appreciation Society versus the House of Black versus the Elite. I could sense that either Sammy Guevara or Danny Garcia will probably be the one to eat a pin. I think that's why they're doing the three-way. Next week also, we have Orange Cassidy versus Jarrett for the all-international title, we said earlier. MJF's going to have a rebar mitzvah celebration. Get it, rebar? I don't know if anybody got that tonight. And something else. Jade Cargill cuts a promo. Once again, going full-blown heel. Trash in Canada. And since they're going to be in Winnipeg next week, she has an open challenge. Somebody from Canada, step up and face me. She's 53-0. Who is going to be 54-0? Now, a lot of people think it's the Bunny, but the Bunny has had a couple of opportunities, so I don't think it's the Bunny. I think whoever Jade Cargill faces next week is going to be somebody that is not currently on the roster. And to be honest with you, after thinking about this a little bit, I think it might be Taya Valkyrie. John Morrison showed up for, what, two appearances not too long ago? I could see Taya Valkyrie showing up. I think that would be a fun match. I think it would be an interesting match because that would definitely, you know, force Jay Cargill to step it up a little bit. And especially since they're hyping it up as a mystery person, it's got to be a name that people recognize. So we'll see. I think it might be Taya Valkyrie. Rampage Friday, we got Sammy Guevara versus Action Andretti again. I don't know why they're doing that match again. Maybe this will have implications with Wednesday. The Acclaimed will be in action. Expect them to have an altercation with, you know, 2.0. Preston Vance versus Takeshka. And we're getting Riho versus Nyla Rose. So they are facing each other once again. And as we said, to open up the show, the main event, Powerhouse Hobbs, Will Hobbs beats Wardlow for the championship. They had to use one of the older TNT titles because over the weekend, Wardlow's gear and Wardlow's belt were stolen. the video that you saw on social media of car broken into, all the things stolen, that was legit. Wardlow did not have gear tonight. So they decided, instead of him wearing another wrestler's gear, because Wardlow has a little bit of a unique look with the singlet and everything, plus Wardlow's physique, not too many people that could like fit that. And I guess they just couldn't overnight it in time. You know, I would have thought maybe as an outfit at home, somebody could have FedExed it. But they decided to do a street fight, falls count anywhere, anything goes. And QT Marshall gets involved at the very end and causes Powerhouse Hobbs the victory. Hated it. As I said at the beginning of the show, as soon as I saw him show up, that's it. Go in this room. Let me get ready 5 minutes early. No interest whatsoever in seeing that guy on TV involved in, you know, you see when Garcia won in Albany and you see others who won in their hometown or their home state. You know, didn't Darby even get like, no, it was Daniel Garcia that got live entrance music, or it was Darby who's in his hometown and he won gold. It's like, do we really need QT Marshall? I mean, are they doing that? So it's obvious. So Wardlow doesn't look weak, but okay. You know, we went from Samoa Joe to Hobbs. You know, we couldn't do that directly. Remember there was a three-way not too long ago? And we were hoping Hobbs would, they just did not want Hobbs to beat Joe. But here's something else to think about. Did you pay attention to Hobbs' promo earlier? Hobbs was soft-spoken. Hobbs was smiling a little bit. Hobbs was very, very professional. And some people were saying, you know what, that guy's going to be a future big baby face. And you almost felt, okay, they're in the hometown. You know, people are going to be cheering for Hobbs. Maybe Hobbs is going to be more of a baby face tonight. And any of that idea gets thrown out of the window because now you got him aligned with fucking QT. That's almost as bad as Sterling, Mark Sterling. You know, it just like, no, neither one of them. Oh, awful. Awful. Okay. Going to finish up. Got two quick super shout-outs to get into, and I want to just briefly bring up MLW. Definitely needed. And if you want to read the detailed reports online, you can. But I'm just going to give you a quick summary. I'm also going to point out something that a lot of sites are not going to talk about. And has to do with AEW. Remember a couple of weeks ago when the court ruled that the lawsuit was thrown out, that MLW did not show any proof, they didn't present facts, and they needed to amend the lawsuit and appeal it within 21 days, otherwise it's over? Okay. Yesterday was day 21. Yesterday was D-Day, or Monday might have been D-Day. And we talked about it over the weekend, that nobody was talking about the fact that it's just about over. Well, at the 5 o'clock hour, MLW submitted an appeal to the court. And I'm not saying this to be pro-WWE or anti-MLW. This shit's going to get thrown out so fucking quickly, because if you read this in detail, what you will learn immediately is that MLW is making accusations against WWE based on social media posts, based on Dave Meltzer's newsletter. They brought up how Triple H called Madison Square Garden and urged the venue to cancel New Japan and Ring of Honor's G1 Supercard. Remember from a couple of years ago? Did they present a sworn affidavit from Ring of Honor or New Japan or anybody from the Garden? No, they did not. They're basing it on what was read online. Do I think WWE did that? Yeah, could very well. You have to provide evidence. You can't just base it on what you... They presented no affidavits from any of these parties. Why didn't these parties sue WWE? Why aren't they part of this lawsuit? That's number one. Number two, they bring up Swerve Strickland. And they said at the time, Swerve Strickland, Stefan Strickland, was the MLW champion. And that WWE's talent executive at the time, allegedly, it's not even a fact, everyone, allegedly convinced Swerve Strickland to opt out of his MLW deal and go to WWE. Any affidavit from Swerve Strickland? No. Any affidavit from this WWE executive? No, of course not. Again, hearsay. They mentioned in the appeal that AEW has demanded WWE to stop contacting AEW contractual wrestlers to try to hire them away. What is that based on? Online, Tony Khan claimed to have told Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon, cut it out. Remember that from not too long? Did he get an affidavit from Tony Khan? Sworn statement that they were doing this? No. No. All they did was provide hearsay after hearsay after hearsay. And the best part about it is AEW. When they talk about revenue, they say that WWE controls 92% of the wrestling revenue. AEW right now makes up 6% of the market. So that's 98% of the wrestling market. That leaves 2% of the wrestling market for MLW, New Japan, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, WOW, and NWA, 2%. 2%. So they start calculating figures, and they start coming up with numbers saying that the deal between MLW and reels and everything could be worth $11 million. They're being dropped after 10 weeks. There is no proof, nothing where reels has extended. Do you honestly think that reels paid MLW $1 million an episode to be on TV to generate 50,000 viewers? I think people need to remember that reels is an independent channel. No affidavits, but here's the best part. In all of this, MLW claims that AEW, they're trying to show that WWE has monopolized wrestling and made it so difficult to make money. In this appeal, they say that AEW, since forming in 2019, has never been profitable. Cash flow positive, anybody? Remember the Dixie Carter disaster that we exposed? MLW, in this appeal, claims that AEW has not been profitable since they started. Do they have any facts to back that up? No, nothing. Everything in this appeal, they just bought time. But when you realize that when you do the math and you figure out the 2% and all that, MLW, they'd be happy with $1 million. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're hoping that WWE just says, look, let's just settle, get this out of court. And WWE is saying no. WWE would rather spend $10 million with lawyers and fuck MLW up the, you know, the you know what, than give the money to MLW. You read this appeal, it is a joke. This court is going to read this, and they're going to say, did you fucking understand? We said you didn't present facts. That's why we dropped your case. Everything that they brought in now, they have nothing to substantiate. Did they get a sworn affidavit from Tony Khan? Is anybody that does interviews, are they going to interview Tony Khan? Tony Khan, what's your thoughts on MLW saying that AEW has not been profitable since day one? What, you think anybody's going to do that? No. You're not going to read that remark posted anywhere because understand what profitable means. Profitable means if I put $1,000 in my business and I made $2,000, I got a profit. If I put $10 million in my business and I made $9 million, I did not make a profit. So Tony Khan could be making $150 million this year, But if he paid $200 million, he didn't make a profit. I don't know what's true and what's not true. I'm not accusing AEW of not making a profit. Where the fuck did they get that from? Are they going to subpoena Tony Khan under oath? Tony, does AEW make a profit? You see where this is going. This is going to be comical. I hope to God that Brian Last and Jim Cornette spend at least 15 to 20 minutes breaking this shit down. Go a half hour because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But, you know, when you go to a court and you make wild claims like that, you better have some type of proof because that could be slanderous towards AEW. How dare you accuse us of not making a profit? It's going to be interesting. And you know what? If I'm Reels, cut your losses. After 10 weeks, move on. Move on. They pulled every bit of advertising last week, and we're the only people online that exposed that. Not one other person has exposed that. They pulled all of their advertising for MLW. That says it all. That says it all. All right. Little feedback from earlier. AS7607, she is back in the house. Why do I see Undertaker here? Hold on a minute. Was that up there the whole time, huge pop? I just noticed that. AS7607, she says it poignantly, it's just water. Relax. It's more than just water. It's just a gesture. But, I mean, you know, like, if he would have just, I don't know, if it would have been beer, all right, then that would have been to a whole new level. But I agree with you. It was just water, but still, shouldn't have been done in 2023, in my opinion. Yes, people are pointing out to me another week has gone by and another week. The Dima! Listen, I've said the two smartest men in wrestling right now is Miro and Brock Lesnar. And people are now realizing why Brock Lesnar is the second smartest man in wrestling. But Miro, once again, redeeming another week. And I do think he'll be back. Yeah, I made that prediction not too long ago that AEW's got women's tag titles before the end of 2023. I will also go on record again and say that Miro will be back in AEW TV. Well, I should rephrase that. Miro will be back on TV in 2023. I think it'll be AEW, but never say never elsewhere. And to wrap it up tonight, theme parks with Johnny with another five spot. Going back to the House of Black. When they wear their masks, it reminds them of the Three Ninjas movie. You know why I love the House of Black's look, no matter what it reminds me of? Because you look at the guys themselves. Buddy Matthews, maybe the exception, because he's such a pretty boy. But still, he is so jacked. Like, if I went to a bar and Buddy Matthews came up to me, and he's like, you know, that's my seat. I would probably be like, okay. And I would walk away. I don't think I would turn around and say, the fuck are you talking about? I've been sitting there for an hour. No, Buddy Matthews is more intimidating than you think, but you look at Brody King, no matter how much he pissed me off about the Edge remarks a while back, that guy is intimidating. You look at his look, all the tattoos, Malachi Black. You know, the characters fit the personas. And Julie Hart, she doesn't have to do much, but she is definitely upped her game. You could feel it now that she is like, she's gotten bitten the bug with the House of Black. She's like, I'm feeling it. She is nailing it. And who would have ever thought, little Julie Hart, little blonde haired, you know, what, 20 years old, whatever she is. Look at the little Julie Hart. Oh, how cute. No, she's actually taking this shit seriously. I got to give it a thumbs up. Got to give it a thumbs up, man. All right. Gamer's Block. We'll mention WWE for a moment for tonight. When do I think Robert Roode will return? Will Triple H give him a big push? Thank you for the five spot, my friend. Robert Roode is still recovering from his surgery. Ciampa is on the fast track of coming back. Ciampa will be back before Robert Roode. Robert Roode will be out, I think, until at least the summer. The problem with Robert Roode is he's up there in age. And, you know, could I see him show up in NXT? Absolutely. Could I see him show up at maybe, you know, like just a random event as a surprise? Yeah, but I almost feel like you would have to rebuild, not repackage, but you would have to reintroduce Robert Roode. You know, even if he showed up and he was against Dolph Ziggler, like I think you would have to start all over again. Does WWE do that? I'm not sure. Like Ciampa, I actually think Ciampa may have a better shot at getting back into the WWE program rather smoothly than Robert Roode. I don't see Robert Roode really, like I said, maybe the best thing for Robert Roode when he returns to WWE is go back to NXT. Show up at NXT first. Show up, get the social media exposure. Holy shit, Robert Roode is back. He's showed up in NXT. Let him work a little bit. Let him get some opportunity. Let him show that he's back to 100%. Then you get the buzz online. Hey, you know, Robert Roode, he looks great. Oh, they should bring him to the main roster. Why are they keeping him in NXT? Bring him to the main. Let the fans demand the upgrade for Robert Roode. So I think he should go back to NXT first, then get promoted back to Raw or SmackDown. That's what I would do. So, all right, guys. It's been fun. I thank you, as always, for tuning in. Now, a little programming note. The next Q&A, we haven't done one on a Thursday in a little over a month. The next Q&A will be next Thursday, which will be the 16th of March. And I will post a thread on YouTube tomorrow. So it'll be up there for about a good 5-6 days. So give you 5 days to submit a question if you want. Or you could email me, dontony@dontony.com. I haven't checked that email in about a week, I'm not going to lie. But I will be going through emails this weekend. I have a boatload to go through. So we'll do that next Thursday. And if you have any feedback from tonight, what I said about the situation with MJF or, you know, the other stuff with Roxanne Perez, you know, speak out. I'm very curious. I like to hear other opinions. And believe me, I think you should realize by now you won't get bashed for having a difference of opinion. You know, we respect, you know, other viewpoints here. And more times than not, you know, you do change my mind when it comes to certain points. So, you know, definitely speak out if you, you know, have a certain view that you want shared. Now, I'll be back here on Saturday for the Don Tony Show. I got a few things lined up already that we're going to get into. It's going to be an interesting morning, absolutely. And then, you know, we'll also have SmackDown in the books. So we see where the progression goes. Does Kevin Owens show up? Told you. To Sammy, told you. Now let's get together. I think that's what could happen. I think once Sami Zayn goes to Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn's got to go to Kevin Owens and say, Kevin, you were right. I admit it. I was wrong. You were right. And I think once that happens, the, not scissoring, but the alliance will begin. You know, WrestleMania is coming a lot quicker than we realize. So some big things are going to go down this Friday on SmackDown. So we'll talk about it on Saturday. I heard something big is supposed to happen with Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley. Our thoughts Monday that it might have been cut for time because it was supposed to be a second segment, that appears to be true. So something big is going to go down Friday to solidify this match. I just don't know if Bobby Lashley is going to be there. Because he showed up last week, and Uncle Howdy showed up. Why would he show up again if he thinks that Bray Wyatt is not going to be man-to-man? I almost feel like maybe they should wait till next Monday. You know, if Bobby Lashley doesn't show up on SmackDown, wait till next Monday. Let Bray Wyatt show up in Bobby's neck of the woods. The only problem is, it feels like Bray Wyatt is going to be a heel again. The way it feels right now, it feels like Bray Wyatt, because Uncle Howdy was not doing babyface things. So, all right, I'm out of here. Much love, everyone. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that would like the shows, you know, let them know about the channel. Always welcoming everybody's thoughts and opinions. And much love as always. Be well, everybody. Have a good one.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.